our belief is the next phase of the internet is about the personal, and it's about the personal access to it. And I think you can make a case that says we are at the beginning of the liftoff. We've seen the growth rates in broadband of 30, 40, 50% over the last 2 years. And yet I would still make the case that we're at the very beginnings of this. Why are we at the beginnings of it? Well, to a rough approximation still, nobody has broadband, to a rough approximation. It's still a very small number of people in the world. And if you look at the pull of this medium versus the previous media, the TV and so on, we're still at a very small penetration rate. And even when you dive into that 250 million odd people who have broadband, many of them are down at 250 kilobits or 500 kilobits. There's a long, long, long way to go for this, long way to go in terms of growth opportunities for us and, of course, technical challenges. The second reason is that the internet isn't mobile. And mobility gives that extra dimension to technology, when you can take it with you, when it's always with you. That was the vision that Marty Cooper had with the cell phone in 1978. That was why the cell phone has now got 1.5 billion people who carry them around all the time. It's because it's with you always. It's personal. And that, we feel, is the next phase of the growth of the internet. And so let me spend a few minutes looking then at what the technology initiatives we're trying to drive in Intel over the next year or so to try and help make that happen in partnership with the work of the folks in this room. And I'll break it into three areas. Firstly, small screen, so that's small screen devices, phones, smartphones, PDAs, and a blurrier device, slightly above that, that I'll spend some time talking about. Secondly, what we call the big screen devices, which is notebook computers. Notebook computers are going through an astonishing period of growth right now. And then thirdly, the packet-based wireless technologies that are designed for this high-speed personal broadband. Let's start for a couple of minutes by looking at the small screen and some of Intel's initiatives in the small screen space. Last time I was here in the fall, I talked a little bit about Hermon, which was our first 3G chip. We said that we expected to go into production on global networks by the end of that year, end of 2005. We hit that schedule. And we did it in a device that was already highly addictive, which was the BlackBerry. And we believe that the power of that product, as it's gone into the new BlackBerry, has helped make that device an even more compelling device. We put a lot of focus into the bandwidth, a lot of focus into the performance, and we're feeling pretty good about how it panned out. In the applications processor space, I showed you the Bulverde microprocessor that was going into the Palm and Motorola and other phones. I'm delighted to say that we're now in sample on the next generation, which is Monahans. I showed you a demonstration last time of a Monahans running at something like a gigahertz. We are now moving into sampling on this product. And today, I can announce three new technologies that will help the Monahans family be better on video and audio. The first two technologies in video and audio essentially enable you to shut down the microprocessor power consumption when you're in the output phase of the audio or video signal. We're then also enhancing the instruction set with MMX2, and we're also putting hardware acceleration features into it that help enable the acceleration and capture of graphics images, of camera images through the camera, rather. So all of this in Monahans, we believe, will give us the ability to sustain this improvement in performance, battery, power consumption performance, and we can push ahead with an even better efficiency as Monahans starts to appear in these smartphone devices. Well, let's go back to the internet for a second and back to our confusing and complex infrastructure. These smartphone devices, even though they're becoming more and more powerful, have a big challenge in delivering the crispest and most authentic web experience. One of the reasons for this is the internet itself is always under construction. We know it's always under construction on hardware, but it's also always under construction in software. Every day, if you're a corporate user, you are used to having the latest virus fix, the latest software fix to protect yourself from attack. But if you're a frequent browser user, you're also used to the numbers of times that you have to change your codecs, update your codecs, your audio codecs, your video codecs. On Internet Explorer, you have an enormous range of Scriptex extensions that you can use to enrich the web experience. On Firefox, you have something like 5,000 different plugins with new ones arriving every day. That is the nature of the internet. It's the nature of the web, and it's what gave birth to these kinds of applications. It's not a static medium. It's a medium where the software is being refreshed on a daily basis. And the PC has always had an advantage in being able to adapt and adapt to this challenging software. So if you come over, and let me come over and show you an example for a minute. And we have three kinds of handheld devices here. On the Elmo, you're seeing two very, very good devices out accessing just one particular common website, which is a music video website. And then the device I'm pointing at here is a kind of next generation micro PC style device. What you see on the two conventional non-PC devices is the inability to display the content. That's not because the designers of these products are incompetent. It's because the codecs change too regularly, the software changes too regularly for a static device to stay up to date. That has always been the advantage of the PC on the internet. But the problem the PC has had, even the notebook, is it's too large for you to carry it around with you. And so there is a huge effort underway to shrink down that PC architecture and put it into a smaller and smaller space. And that initiative is one that is called the Ultramobile PC. That's the most common name for it. Here is an example of one of those devices. You're going to see a tremendous wave of experimentation in the next year and a half, 2 years, taking a lesson from the cell phone industry with new types of form factors, keyboards that swivel out, keyboards that clamshell open, all kinds of different form factors and sizes as the PC industry races to get this flexible architecture into a smaller and smaller space. And you won't have to wait long at all for the announcements of the first ones of those devices. So that is what I'd call the next step in PC mobility. These devices will be launched by a numbers of companies in a relatively short period of time. And collectively at IDF, we will be putting more and more attention on the ergonomic challenges, the software challenges, the packaging challenges, the heating challenges, to squeeze these things into smaller and smaller spaces. In Intel, we have a vision of reducing the power consumption by an order of magnitude so that we can meet the demands of this kind of market. And I think collectively, that's a great objective for us to have.